Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the PGP, everybody. The show within the show. We pull back the curtain. The Permission Granted Podcast is about the DA show. And so this podcast can be heard on the DA show podcast feed if you'd like to listen to the show in podcast form or have a one catch-all place. You got it? Also, it's available on its own podcast feed. So search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform or Permission Granted Podcast, and you'll find it. Subscribe, rate, and review. That'll help other people find it as well. Mraz joins me now, and what a week this has been. We knew that Pete the Body was going to be out on Monday because that is Royal Rumble Day. That's the morning after the Royal Rumble. Monday of Super Bowl week is always one of Pete's annual days off. I have to say, Mraz, if we ever have new management, that might get nipped in the bud. I don't know how much they'd smile on that being the reason that somebody takes off, especially Super Bowl week specifically.
Yeah, so I agree with you. So I always walk a fine line with this because I am a firm believer as a man of the people that, hey, your days off, your days off. When you plan on taking them, what's important to you?
Man of the people.
I do think that, you know, nobody should dictate to you when you need your days off. However, not that we're not allowed, but there is certainly an unwritten rule, if you will, that unless you really are away on some kind of trip, you've taken your college football trips, I've taken my NFL trips or weddings or whatnot, Fridays and Mondays during football season are specifically in sports radio the do not take offs. You know, they can't make you not take off, but you don't take off. And then there's Super Bowl week where basically you plan and play. It's the highest revenue week in sports radio. The most advertising is behind it. It's very important. It's very critical to basically the year-long success of the show. I mean, a lot of the guests we have on are relationships that we've built throughout the year that we have guests on to continue relationships. And everything just has to sound right, feel right. There's a lot of extra work that goes into it. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of special, but it's a lot of work. But with that, everybody should be here at all hands be on deck. And it has become, as we joke about, a tradition like no other that Pete is off. So, yeah, maybe that is something management has to look into. But I do want to say Pete was at least for years conscious about this, DA, because you and I inevitably would get on an airplane. We'd land. We'd be prepared to do the show Monday. We'd always get some sort of text from Pete about, something happened here and I got to take off for this year. And it got to the point where it got to like the third year in a row and we realized this always happens on this Monday, and we know Pete's big wrestling stuff, so we started to finally call him out on it, and at least he's finally admitted he takes off because the Royal Rumble is there, and there's no need to lie about it anymore. You laugh, but you know I'm right.
Well, I just hope for Pete's sake that if we ever get new management, for Pete's sake. Wow, that's a great Bilotti blog.
For Pete's sake.
That's a great column that he should write at CBSSportsRadio.com and publish himself, because apparently that's the way that this thing's going to go. So, you know, we've had the same management at CBS Sports Radio for 8 years, and very little has changed. But if that ever did change, I worry. I worry about Pete getting that day off because, I mean, I can't imagine a new boss is like, oh, yeah, cool. Super Bowl week, you could take off because you watched the Royal Rumble last night. I just don't think that'll fly. So this could be the end of an era. 2021 could be the end of an era for Pete.
It could be. And it also should be said, Pete should be very, very thankful that Connor Green was able to come in and step in and do the show because, you know, had somebody, and by the way, the reason Connor's available is because, you know, every other full-timer in their role is not taking off, so we get, you know, the top of the line on part-timers. But if Connor was not available to fill in and, for you know, if we ever had another Shep scenario like this during Super Bowl week, that really would be the end for Pete. The reason it's not really being looked at is because the show's kind of going off without a hitch.
Right. And so this folds into day number two, where we had the nor'easter of 2021 blow through. Now, this thing has been an absolute monster. It's dropping record amounts of snow. Still, as we speak, I think it might be snowing at my house. And dropped record-breaking snow in Central Park, the New York State, New York City area, up and down the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic states. You got 18 inches. I think I got over 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet of snow. And it's just a monster. And before this even happened, Pete called out on Tuesday's show as well because of the storm. Okay. So now Connor got thrust into 2 days of the biggest week of our year. Now it's a little bit less intense this year because we're not on remote at Radio Row. Usually we have a guest every segment. It is chaotic. It is nuts lining them up and taping things down the line. And
right.
You know, not for nothing, but like missing the Monday of Radio Row week is a big headache for us. It's a right. Huge headache. Missing 2 days would have been nearly half the week. But this week, this year, is more civil because we're all doing it as a normal show. We've only got like 2 guests today, maybe 3 guests today, and they're all over phone or over Zoom, so it's a much more feasible thing. So it's not the chaos that it normally is.
Absolutely.
But so Connor has filled in these 2 days. I mean, the snow is still coming down around here. Are we convinced Pete's going to be back tomorrow, or should we just wait on the bat phone to see if Bilotti's going to decide to come to work tomorrow?
Okay, so I do think we're opening up an envelope here, and I want to organize these thoughts as properly as possible because it has. Now that we're here, I didn't know this is where we were going with the PGP, but now that we're here,
where'd you think it was going to go?
I don't know. I didn't know that we were going to hammer Pete, but I'm fine with it because
not hammering Pete. We're just explaining what happened because everybody knows that Connor's been in these 2 days.
Right. Okay. So maybe hammering is the wrong word. So in asking that question about Pete. Well, there's a couple parts to this that I think need to be explained to the audience. First and foremost, where you are up in the wilderness, where basically you're shoveling out. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're getting dumped onto 24. I just stepped out at the end of Tuesday's show. I looked outside to see what the deal was. My roads, and I live a little further out east on Long Island than Pete does, are completely at least clear. There might be some slushy mess, but I will say this. If Pete bags out on Wednesday and cites the snow as a reason, I will tell you, as somebody who also lives on the South Shore of Long Island, that is ridiculous. Now, is it a pain in the neck? Do you have to shovel out? This, that, and the other thing? Yes. But as also remember, Pete's not owning a home. He lives in an apartment complex where the shoveling is done for him. So, really, it should not be that difficult to get to work. It appears the Long Island Railroad is going to get up and running. But, Pete is setting an example because I have to tell you, just moments ago, as we got lined up to tape this Permission Granted podcast, I spoke to another member of the staff who I will not reveal their name. As Connor Green, by the way, now is double dipping and helping out on Bill Ryder's show.
Because that's other guys can't come in because of the weather.
I asked this said person about, you know, hey, how's it been dealing with the storm going in? He said, well, my hotel room's not the greatest. But, you know, frankly, I just had to do it. But his follow-up was, boy, with Pete off, it really goes to show you, what's the penalty in taking off anymore when a storm comes? Because obviously the job wants you to show up. They pay for hotels out of their pocket to get the employees in. They let you stay in a hotel, which is better than the way they were years ago. But Pete has now set an example for other members of the staff for the next snowstorm to say, well, if Pete could just come back Wednesday and there's absolutely nobody telling him he shouldn't take off during a storm, why shouldn't the rest of us? So the floodgates, so to speak, might be opening because Pete has set this example now this week of who cares? The company's not going to punish you. Take off.
Right, because the storm is supposed to be all hands on deck.
Right, exactly. And
when these,
look,
when these rare snow events happen, it's supposed to be everybody's got to, you know, work their ass off to make sure they're here because it's hard.
And if Pete actually takes the time to listen to this, I know his response right now, DA, will be, well, it's easy for these two guys to say they get to work from home and set up all that. And I understand all that. First of all, you and I both do not want to hear that. As two people who have, you've worked in this industry far longer than I have, and I'm sure worked through many a storm, Kansas City, Boston. I have slept on the floor at the studio before on plenty of snowstorms, hurricanes, whatnot. So we have all done that. But Pete's job to engineer the show cannot be done from home. So that is unfair to put on us. So I just want to get that out there. It also, Dia, as long as we're here, Pete texting us about taking off during a storm. Now, our listeners are not aware of this. I have no problem going there. Pete sent a message to DA that said, quote, DA, I'm going to be off Tuesday. You know, the storm's coming. I'll let you know, quote, what went down. And I have no problem saying this. Bogish and I were texting after that going, what went down? What went down was a snowstorm's coming. You didn't want to come in and the employer offered you a hotel room. Like what went down signifies like you were done wrong in some way, shape, or form, which I'm sure in Pete's head, he probably feels he was done wrong. Nothing went down other than a storm came, the company got everybody hotel rooms, and you didn't want one, and that's what went down. I don't know why he needs to go in there. Like, sometimes when Pete takes off, it's like this over-mysterious explanation. That's it. A snowstorm came off, don't apologize. You didn't want to come in and travel in the snow. They offered you a hotel room. You didn't feel comfortable. That's it. There's nothing that went down. He just always with this. It drives you nuts.
Well, look, Pete texted me on the side. He did, and he explained what happened. And I'm not going to, you know, make a private text message, you know, public. So
no, that's something I would do. Right.
He had his reasons. And so it is what it is. I'm not here to criticize Pete. I'm not here to say he should be working. I'm just here to explain that, you know, people might wonder, well, it's freaking Super Bowl week and you've got Connor in these 2 days. What happened? You know, it's Trash Tuesday. We hear Connor. So the listeners know that Pete's not in. So I'm just kind of explaining how this thing went down. So it leads us to Connor, which has been such a fun subplot. Like, it's the best thing ever that Pete took off these 2 days. Because
the irony.
Because the show has been great. The show has been fine. Connor's run a great board. And Connor staying in a hotel in downtown Manhattan, like, as you said, blank check with Brian Bonfrey or whoever the kid star from Family Ties was, or like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone and just kind of like living the good life in a hotel in Manhattan is perfect. It's just all types of perfect. And it led to great content to the air because Connor admitted that, you know, it's really like if you're an 8-year-old and it's like, hey, you've got the house to yourself and money. What would you do? Connor ordered a pizza and ate the entire pizza. Like, that's not what adults do. He just was like, hey, I have a pizza. I might as well eat the entire pizza. And did in his hotel room in a hoodie as he watched a bad college basketball game on ESPN2. And then day number two, he tried to order a burger. Good burgers. And that burger never came. And so he called up and his trash was this place that said, hey, man, just be patient 4.5 hours later after the burger never came. And then he had to go downstairs and get a burger from the hotel lobby bar. But, I mean, the stories have been great. Connor's been hysterical, and it gave us this great image of Connor, like, kicking up his feet in a downtown hotel room as like Macaulay Culkin.
I just only had hoped that Connor had ordered a massage, ordered maybe a couple bottles of champagne, and just completely billed it to the company and said, the heck with it. And if you don't bill the company, bill Pete. He's the one who took off.
It's just been so awesome. It's been so funny. And, you know, is it funny also that every time you put Connor in front of a microphone, there's something really good. So he's just really good. Like, it's always really funny or really smart or really, really quick. Like, he didn't know where we were going to go with the pizza story, because he told you that off air. And then I was like, wait, Connor ate an entire pizza by himself in a hotel. We have to talk about this.
Of
and when
course.
He did, it was hysterical. It's like, you know, he didn't even plan on that, but it just ended up being hysterical the way that he retold it.
Right. Yeah, right. It wasn't as if Connor ordered a whole pizza pie knowing he works on a morning radio show and it was going to be great fodder for the next day. No, he ordered a whole pizza pie and ate it just because he wanted to. It was for his own personal pleasure.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like he got down the line and told me, hey, I ate a whole pizza pie. I had to literally ask him, what'd you do for food during the storm? And that's where it came out. So there wasn't. That's what makes Connor so great. And then on Trash Tuesday, where he comes out and he's telling the story about the burger. Now, I know me. I'd be so annoyed if I ordered a burger and it took 4.5 hours. But when he drops the line where, just out of nowhere, I didn't know whether to file a missing persons report or a complaint. That's gold.
It's gold. It really is gold. It's awesome. So we had the pipe burst yesterday on the air as well for you, and we talked about that on the air. You know, you've had a couple of incidents this year where you've had to run off mic, and this has not happened to either Bogish or I. You had the oopsie running off mic. You had the pipe burst. You had to run off mic. Didn't you have something happening in your backyard? Maybe it was the pool guys where you had to run off mic?
No, it was. It was during a break. My wife had thought somebody broke into the yard. But it turns out it was like an energy guy getting a reading, but they never told us they were coming, and the dog was back there, and she was worried about a dog attack. It was a whole thing. But to answer your question, yes, this has happened several times, and I will tell you, I felt really – the oopsies one thing, the Eli urinating on the router is one thing.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing.
Right.
Eli
right.
urinated on the router, and you had to, like, get off mic, you had to push him away, and you had to dab up all the pee right. off of the router.
It happened as the show was closing, if you remember. Like, the music was playing, and I yelled, no! Because I saw him lift his leg. So, yes, working from home has been frantic at times. I'm hoping that, eventually down the line, if this was something we ever had to do, there are still times I could close off an area and just be left alone. But I did feel really guilty when the pipe burst, because Danielle's very good about, like, she listens to the show upstairs. If there's something she really, really needs me for, she will usually wait to hear that we are on break. But this was obviously, chaotic. There's water gushing. We're still relatively new homeowners. She really doesn't know what to do. There's, if she was by herself, it's one thing. She doesn't want, our child running through the waters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I got kind of angry at her, like saying, could you just wait, 5 minutes? And her point was, we wait 5 more minutes, you don't shut that water off, our whole bedroom is going to be ruined. So it was kind of like one of those weird scenarios where you're working from home. And my argument to her back was, if I wasn't here, if I was in Tampa at Radio Row, or I was working at the studio and you were here, what would you have done? Couldn't you have played that scenario? And I guess in her mind, why even go through that scenario? There's a pipe burst. We need your help now. That was kind of her belief.
Well, and I was thinking about this. We would have been in Tampa this week.
Yep.
Had there not been a pandemic, and of course that's a big what if, but had normal circumstances, we're on the road this week. What would Danielle have done if she was texting you a pipe burst in the bathroom and you're on Radio Row trying to wrangle like Steve Young with us, and you've got to text her what to do about your bathroom and your entire house flooding?
So it's the ultimate what if, right? The other part of that what if, I guess I'm wrong. Because the other part of the what if I would tell you is if it was all well enough in this country to get down to Tampa for Super Bowl, she would likely be at her office. But I guess she wouldn't be, because she probably would have been given the okay to work from home, because the snowstorm still would have existed. That's a good point. I don't know. My guess is I likely would not have answered the phone or answered text during a show on Radio Row. It's just not something I would have done. So my guess is I would have gotten a real, real earful after, and she would have probably had to call the plumber who I usually call and Mr. Pipe and been walked through it on the air where to shut off the water and all of that other stuff. But you're right. It would have just been an ugly scene, and it'd probably be one of those situations where I would have had to let voicemails just go and try to block it out the whole week.
Oh, yeah, the old Mr. Pipe. We remember Mr. Pipe.
Right, Mr. Pipe loves the show. I would have come back with a tan, probably a couple drinks in me, and then said, hey, how'd you handle the pipe burst? And really got an earful.
That would have been really bad.
Really bad, yeah. I guess all things work out, huh, D.A.?
It would have been really, really bad. Before we wrap up side A, how about the picture that I texted you guys today, this morning before we went on the air, about a happy young Andrew Bogish? Now, his wonderful wife posted this on Instagram last night, and it is them back in 2000. And so I guess this is, they were in college at the time. And Bogish has no beard, full head of hair. He has the biggest grin on his face ever looking at Katie. And you can just tell, like, why they have such an incredible bond. And he loves her and has loved her forever. Like, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome photo. But when I looked at it, Katie didn't say, this is Andrew. She didn't say, this is my husband. She just says something like, throwback to 2000, who were such babies. And I'm like, who is that? Is that her brother? Who is?
Oh, come on. You didn't know it was, like, Andrew right away?
You did?
Of course I did. I just like him.
Well, I've never seen him without a beard.
I guess that's true.
So he looks so young and so happy that I didn't recognize him. Then I looked and I'm like, oh my God, that's Bogish. I've also never seen him that happy. So I'm like, no beard and that happy, that can't be Bogish. But he is so happy in this picture, and I want to send this picture out this week so that our listeners can see just how happy he was. This is pure joy. He is laughing like he's never laughed before. I think CBS Sports Radio is beating him down. I think that we as a show might have beaten him down, because can you imagine if you're looking at this picture right now, and you should pull up your phone and look at this. Can you ever imagine Bogish ever in our lifetime being that happy that we've known him?
No.
He's wearing a Pearl Jam t-shirt.
Pearl Jam shirt.
He's freaking loving life. I think we've sapped the life out of the poor guy.
Well, it could be a combination. I think radio can suck the life out of you. He's worked with Pete longer than we have. That obviously can suck the life out of you. Look, he's since had kids and become a homeowner and all that. Those life stresses stress the heck out of you. And I think you're missing one big point here, D.A. This is a throwback to 2000. This is a year before we get the Tom Brady dynasty beginning, too. Oh. Tom Brady's run in being a sports fan has sucked the life out of him as well.
True too.
I think it's one of those diagrams where you kind of take a percentage piece each. But this Bogish, we're never getting back to this Bogish. There's no way.
No. No, I don't think we're ever getting back to that Bogish. How could we?
He makes, you know what, that picture, you look at him smiling like that, it makes you think life's not that bad, you know? That's the good stuff right there.
It is the good stuff, although I will tell you, it might make you realize life is good, it's never going to be that bad, when you're 19 years old.
Right.
You know, your life is ahead of you, you've met the girl of your dreams, you're in college and you're just, you know, you haven't beaten down. And then when you fast forward 20 years later, life takes its toll. You know, you're fixing burst pipes and you're shoveling sidewalks and you're dealing with Pete's days off and you're dealing with getting a break on time and you're paying mortgages. And as, you know, Bogish said, that a third of his basement still unfinished because a boiler blew up. You know, things happen.
Things happen. Things change and things weather you away.
They do. They really do. It. You know, the joy of youth is something else. So I'm gonna tell the kids out there listening, just hold on to that. Hold on to that joy. Hold on to that happiness. When you're 18, 19, 20, 21, and you're striking out on your own, just remember, it'll never be that good again. When you're Connor Green and eating an entire pie to yourself, just remember, at some point, you'll have a wife that says, don't do that, your stomach's going to hurt. Or don't do that, if you're going to do that, go to the gym. Or you're going to have a screaming kid that take the last slice and throw it on the ground. You're going to have a dog that eats that slice and then plows through the garbage and makes you clean up dirty diapers. Or that eight slices of pizza can't happen because you've got to focus on paying the bills or getting the mortgage done or working the second job or whatever. You know, but when you're just young and you don't know any better, man, you're just crushing eight slices of pizza and watching the college basketball game on ESPN2 that you don't even care about.
Yep, not dealing with frozen pipe bursts, that's for sure. It's a totally different world.
So Connor was supposed to be the guest on Side B, guest of honor. However, he has to be pushed to next week because he had to fill in today because, again, Connor's going to have to pick up everybody's pieces. So will you have Connor on the next week on Side B?
Yeah, I think when the dust settles, let's get, even if it's on the phone, let's get Connor up and have a good chat and talk about his week that was.
Yeah, I think that's only fair. Connor's earned a side B, I would say.
Yes, yes.
You should say. Okay, well, that's side A, and more homeowners advice with Andrew Bogish coming up on side B.
Jokely, jokely, jokely. Welcome into Side B, the PGP. It is Mraz, host of Side B on this Super Bowl virtual radio row week. Andrew the Bogeyman Bogus joins us here. Bogey, hello. How are you? Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good week, sir.
All of that, right back to you and yours, Sean. It's great to hear from you this week.
It is great. It is great to hear from us. We just tackled a lot on Side A of the PGP that you have not yet heard. Bogus with me and DA. We'll leave the Bilotti off stuff here for a second and just get to me and DA wrapped, which was talking about this youthful picture that emerged that your wife had posted online that DA wants to leak to the masses of the DA show, and really how happy you were in the year 2000 with your soon-to-be wife at the time. Youthful. Yeah. DA didn't even know it was you because he didn't recognize you without a beard. I knew it was you. It looked like your baby face and all of that good stuff. We debated, DA kind of went on a little ramble here that our listeners had just heard that are listening now, about what causes, what goes from, you know, basically the youth that you felt then, which is the equivalent of Connor Green with the pizza pie in the hotel, and what gets to now. And I went over a bunch of different things that could lead to you looking the way you look now compared to the way you look then. But before I reveal what I think, to you, how can you explain the change in how you looked and the change in happiness pumping through your veins compared to how you are now?
I mean, are you suggesting that right now I'm some kind of ugly curmudgeon? I mean, my bald spot and some of my gray, my silver fox hair going on, I feel relatively youthful for almost 41 years old.
Well, let me just say this. I think that we are very, very happy and laugh together and enjoy each other day to day.
Oh, I don't understand your question now. Here's the answer. I was probably under the influence of something in that picture, which might explain the giddiness involved there, which I'm not on currently. I mean, that could be the deciding factor between these two pictures. Sure.
Okay, so we didn't rattle off substances as a reason why.
Yeah, it's on the table from that time frame of my life. It's on the table.
So we figured homeownership, having kids, worrying about paying real bills, other things that can
balding.
Balding, right. The normal, like, stresses of life. And our point where we're bringing up is here we are, 21 years later, that picture, and you realize how weathered away and changed you can be. Even if you still look good, folks, nobody's saying you look old and miserable, but in comparison, that's a 21 years. You look different, and the mood is different, and everything is different. Happiness now for you is not what happiness looked in that picture. And we just feel like there's a lot of stresses in life that really that picture encompasses all of that. And we do wonder if Connor Green is going to eventually look like you in a way from that look now.
I mean, if Connor keeps eating 8 slices of pizza per night, he's going to look like that far quicker than 20-plus years. I mean, that'll be a steep decline for Connor. But I'm taken aback by this. You guys have spooked me here. I got to go back and look in the mirror. I thought between my long hair, my beard, and I pretending to work out for the last couple of months, I feel like I'm in a good spot physically from an outsider's perspective. But apparently I've completely fallen off the cliff in the last 2 decades.
Look, take this from me, who obviously has my own weight issues and everything like that. You are in magnificent shape for 41. The problem is the caveat is for 41. I think you look great for 41. You don't look like you did 20 years ago. And it's a shame that I don't look like I did 20 years ago, although there's the argument I looked worse 20 years ago because I always looked like I should have been 40, as we mentioned last week on the show.
Well, you said that, and you've always...
right.
You've always should have been 40. I've never heard that said of another human, and you said it about yourself.
Right. And DA looks completely, completely different than he did. We all do, but it's just, I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a sad reminder that life changes, that picture. And I think it just made us all sad because you were just so damn happy. And DA, again, is going to show this picture to everybody. And it just is something. Now, I am not a happy camper. Obviously, you took part in this. I still haven't heard live how you guys reacted on the air, but the pipe burst incident. on Monday's show, where basically I had a flood coming down and everything. And you know this is a homeowner that's been around, and you were mentioning that your boiler bursting and all of this. Let me just ask your guys' reaction when I walked off, because I thought I had typed to the G-Chat what was going on, but I guess you guys hadn't seen it. Basically, your initial instinct was that I must have pooped my pants?
No, that was DA. So I don't know what DA has in front of him setup-wise, like what he can see when he's talking, but like I have like our Zoom like control center at the top of my screen underneath my camera. So if I'm looking, it makes me look at the camera, because if it was any other place, I'd be looking at the screen, not the camera, and then I would look like a doof because my head would be tilted to the right or whatever. So I have and all of our feeds are right there. So the entire time I saw you like miming back and forth with Danielle. I saw you waving her off. I saw you finally take your earphones out and slam them down and leave. So I knew something was going on. I guess, however, DA's setup is, he didn't notice right away or all along that you were not there. So I think I finished my update, and then he goes, oh, Sean's not there. And I think we did Stunned to a News as well. So right. Then he guessed about the bathroom, and then, but that was never my, for, like, I thought something was, no, I don't know, it was a pipe burst, but I figured something was happening in the house, the way reading your body language.
So I ended up feeling really bad about this later on in the day, because I kind of had a semi, not an argument with Danielle, because I understood where Danielle was coming from, and my argument was, hey, I'm live on the air, I'm doing a show, and DA rattled off, there's been some distractions, Eli urinating on the router, PSE&E energy guy coming through my backyard. Things have happened this year when working from home, but there was, I guess, a part of me that felt like, if I wasn't here, if I was in Tampa Bay at Radio Row, if I was at the studio, how would you handle the scenario without me here and without disrupting me, was my argument to Danielle. And I guess it was the wrong argument to have. Her point was, you are here, and this is a major, major house situation. We have a flood coming in. I need you to do something. And I guess, so I pivot to you as a family man, wife, kids. Did I make the right decision in walking off camera there? Because I did feel really guilty about that to the show.
Yes, you 100% made the right decision. And I typed it in the G-Chat because you kept coming back to the desk and there was one segment left in the show. And I said, Sean, we're okay. Like, just go fix this, because I know also how bad it can be and you need to address water immediately. Right. So, you should have gone and never come back, but you kept coming back. And this even happened, not this bad, but a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, after our show, I continue to work throughout the morning and early afternoon, and my son comes walking up from the basement. He goes, Dad, I hear a buzzing, dripping noise. And I go downstairs, and there's a steady stream of water just dripping right through one of my ceiling tiles on the floor of the basement. And I do what you did. I went to the main valve, which, by the way, I think you should find. There should be somewhere in your house, there should be a main valve that there literally is coming like from the outside of the house that you can turn off, that turns everything off.
Right. I know where that is, but I knew where the water line was going to the part that burst, because that is like a separate, it's like, this isn't like a humble break. I have three bathrooms in my house, and that one was like an addition that we found out.
So it's got a separate thing.
A separate thing. So I was aware of this because I'm only a year and a half into this house. I was shown all this, and where that is kind of to the right of where my studio setup is in the ceiling. So ironically, I just registered because I was overshown that, because it's different from the other bathrooms in my house. It was a whole thing, but I do know where my main water valve is. Yes.
So anyway, I throw the main water valve off. I run around the house. I open up all the other faucets trying to get all of the water out of the pipes, because I'm assuming what happened to you happened to me, that a pipe burst and this is just water falling out. And my house, I have like a split ranch, I think it's called. So my house is almost like a Z shape. Like, you come in on the ground floor and you go up four steps, and then there's our living room and our kitchen, and then five more steps and that's where the bedrooms are. So like, yeah. My house is like a maze sometimes. We've had leaks before, like the leak downstairs is coming from like up and to the left. So I'm trying to figure out where this thing is coming from. I put buckets down to try and to stop the dripping water, because turning the valves off and the faucets open didn't stop it. So then I called David Marinick, our boss, and I said, listen, I have water leaking into my basement. I don't know where it's coming from. Can you get ACT to finish the rest of my shift? I had like two more updates to do, and he was already like sitting and prepping, so I knew he could do it. And they're like, absolutely fine. So like, I mean, I bailed within 5 minutes because I got to fix it. Like, you can't just let that sit there. Now, it turned out not to be a big deal at all. And it didn't, I just had to use some towels to clean some stuff up. And then I missed an update, came back and finished the last like two or three of the shift, and that was it. But like, yeah, you did the right thing by bailing, and you should have never come back. You should have stayed and fixed what was going on.
See, so the reason I find this interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate in pandemic, in that, you know, a lot of us had to transition to working from home. It just a matter of fact, many in the country returned to whatever offices they had, or, you know, they're obviously essential workers or whatever job you may be, but there are still many that had to transition, and whether they're still working from home or they work from home for a long period of time, my philosophy was always, when we had this set up from home, hey, I'm not here. Like, pretend I am at the studio. That was always it. So when this happened, and I know, you know, there's been minor things that have happened, I had this, it's just my own common nature. I just had this guiltiness over me that this was going on during a show. And I don't know. I don't know. That's why I just wanted to run it by you as a homeowner. It did, after everything was cleared and I had to deal with the shoveling and the McDonald's lady and the floods and everything else that went on with it, I sat back. I'm like, man, I really hated how that unfolded at the end of the show. And I felt really bad about it because basically, you know, like, I have to pretend I'm at the studio, and that was a real life event. I hated that had happened, and I felt really, really guilty about it, but you're making me feel a little better. You would have bailed way earlier than me. So, and if you, if it feels that way, then certainly I'm okay.
Well, I mean, listen, our show is important, our job is important, but like, real life and other things are more important. And like, any boss that would have gotten mad in that scenario, like, then is the problem is on their end, not on your end. And like, even for you particularly, like, you had nothing to do in terms of like deadlines. Now, like, for me, like, there are things I have to be here for. Like, if this happened during our show in the morning, I could say, hey guys, I gotta miss this update. Whatever, even if I didn't feel well, I could be like, I gotta go to the bathroom. You know, like, there's maneuverability, because there's nothing set in stone that like, my update has to happen. But later in the day, the update's gotta happen. Somebody's gotta do it. So like, that's why I had to call people and figure things out. But even that scenario, like, I what was I gonna do? Like, my two kids here, my wife is here. Like, we're both trying to do it. But I thought I was in the middle of like a huge, you know, surge of water ruining the bottom of my house. So like, I mean, that's it. Like, I had to fix that and not read WFAN sports news at noon.
Crazy times, I tell you. Crazy times. All right, Bogish, on that note, I think we could wrap here. Do you have any commentary at all? Do we think Pete is back? Some of you may be listening, and Pete may already be back. Do you think Pete is back on Wednesday?
I mean, Pete's back on Wednesday, but here's the problem. There's a tiny, not a lot, but there is another chance of snow. Like, I saw 3 or 4 inches Sunday night into Monday. Pete's burned his out. Like, he's done this once. Like, now the next time, he better hope that there's nothing ever close to this again this winter, because he's going to have to come in. Like, he did it. It's fine. I would have had some of the same objections that he did, but now he's got to know that he used his one out card, and the next time there's snow, he's got to be here.
Well, I will say, he set an example. I'm not going to reveal the name. I had somebody tell me, what is the penalty in taking off during a snowstorm? Pete's already proven it doesn't matter. So Pete is setting an example for people. You think it's a bad example to set?
Is that a question? I mean, it's tough. Like, everybody's situation is different.
I agree.
You know,
we've all had to sleep somewhere we don't want to sleep.
Right.
You know, it stinks.
Yeah, and like, you know, your job is your job. Like, at some point, you got to do your job. And I get paying your dues, and I've done this in the past. It's somebody else's turn. Like, that makes sense too. But like, sometimes, you know, your job calls for you to drive in bad weather or get to someplace and stay there for 36 hours. It sucks. But like, that's what the job entails. And to their credit, our company was taking care of people in the past, which has been an issue because things weren't as simple as they were this time around. But they definitely were taking care of folks, making it easier this time to stick around if you had to.
Very, very fascinating. Another storyline to keep an eye on. All right, Bogish, you can follow you on Twitter. Give the old plug, kid.
At Andrew Bogish.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MorazCBS. Have a great week, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.